Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, I'm Lori Davis, and you're listening to the Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Our Friday edition includes celebrities, experts, and authors. And today I'm excited to welcome Dr. Tracy Tremendous Jones, who grew up with her notorious dad, Charlie Tremendous Jones, whom I had the honor of meeting many years ago at a conference. Tracy is presently an author, and we're going to talk about her book, Spark. And she owns and operates the family business, Second Generation, which includes a publishing company. So Tracy has the credibility to give us some, if you pardon the pun, tremendous tips for those of us aspiring to be published. I've had a book in the hopper for like 5 years, so I'm looking forward to getting some information so I can take my book to the next level. She has also had an amazing professional journey and career path prior to taking over the family legacy left by her dad. So we're just waiting for Tracy to arrive. If this is your first time listening, the Lori Davis Show broadcasts 5 days a week, every day at the same time, at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Mondays, we feature relationships, self-worth. On Tuesdays, we address health and wellness. On Wednesdays, we discuss business, entrepreneurship, money matters. Thursdays, Native talk, situations and issues that are connected to our Indigenous communities throughout North America. And on Fridays, here we are, it's Friday, and we have a guest usually who is an expert, a celebrity, or an author. So I can't wait for Tracy to arrive. I've had a few conversations with her, have interviewed her one other time, and a real inspiration to those of us who need to get on board with our books, because, of course, there's a book inside each of us. Each of us has a story to tell. And what's really terrific about our stories is they're real. We're not talking fiction. We're talking reality. And, of course, the truth is often more amazing than the fiction. So can't wait to speak with Tracy, just waiting for her now to come in. And if you're just joining us, this is the Lori Davis Show. I'm Lori Davis, your host, and we broadcast live, talk, call in. If there's a question that might come up for you as Tracy is sharing with us and you want to ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to call in at 515-602-9660. And I see that Tracy has arrived, so I'm just going to take a moment and we'll welcome her to the show. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Tremendous Lori. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, I've just given a big intro for you, and we know that the word tremendous has now become part of our vocabulary. So
I love it. And isn't it a great word?
Oh, it's a tremendous word. Yes. We all need to hear it right about now, for sure.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off just with what I'd like to do is come to the present, and then maybe go back and talk a little bit about your dad and whatever. But you've actually published a book during COVID called Spark. So let's talk about your book first and foremost, because that's the most current thing on our minds. Can you share with us what inspired you? What does Spark mean? And the microphone is yours, Tracy. Over to you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thank you, Lori. Well, I'll tell you what. Spark was born out of my doctoral dissertation where I studied. I just got my PhD last December, and I got it in leadership, and I was really mesmerized by the interplay between leaders and followers and how followers really impacted the leader and made them even greater, and how leaders impacted the follower. So I'm very interested in this synergy, why some people bring out greatness in others and why other people just are a complete drain on them. And so I studied in my PhD dissertation, and I really came to the conclusion after all those years of study that this greatness within, this intrinsic resiliency or regenerative nature, or as they call it in research literature, an adaptive capacity, that can be encouraged by somebody outside of you, but that is really what you bring to the table. So in essence, it wasn't so much what the leader did to inspire the followers, because you are either in it or you're not, okay? And so this was really quite fascinating for me. So then I started studying, because I was looking at a crisis, I was studying, why do some people run into the burning building and why do other people run out of the burning building? You know, I've been in the military, I've been to war, I've been in a lot of crazy situations, and it's always fascinated me, this courage, this resiliency, this service before self idea, and why when two people are faced with the exact same event, Lori, how come somebody can look at it as usual, and to somebody else, it's the end of the world? So I really distilled my my dissertation down to five key points, and the acronym is SPARK. And S-P-A-R-K, I was in the Air Force, so we love our acronym, just like everybody else in the military. And that stands for, S is for singularity, P is for persistence, A is for advocates, R is for resources, and K is for knowledge. So I really came up with kind of a diagnostic tool. If you are not igniting, and we all need that initial spark, we can't become great until we have that point of combustion, you know, that you know, when God spoke the world into existence, you have to have some kind of cosmic spark that gets everything in motion. And so, and we all need that before any change takes place in our life. We have to all of a sudden go, yep, now's the time, and we have to start doing it. So how can we dial that in and stay on point? And then once it's ignited, because a lot of time it burns out. If we don't tend to that flame, just like any other fire, and give it fuel and the right circumstances and the right resources, it burns out. So that's really what the book is about. And here it is, March. You know, I'm coming off a high. I got my PhD. I just got married. Woo, here comes my book on igniting the greatness within. And boom, you know, this crazy pandemic hits. And I'm like, is this going to sound tone deaf? I mean, I'm talking about igniting the greatness within. And you know what? It has been received just beautifully, because people, it's just a testament to the fact that everything external going on is everything external going on. All we can control is our response to it. And so that's really what the book is about. This is not the first pandemic that the world has ever seen, and it sure won't be the last. So what do we do now in this crisis? Because within every crisis is the great seeds of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so how do we take that chaos? And so that's really what the book is about. And yeah, it launched in the midst of it. And so in the front of the book, I do have a little disclaimer about, you know what, this is when this thing came to fruition, and you know what? It was just, it was perfect timing.
Well, we all know that timing is of the essence, and your timing, as usual, is impeccable. Would you take a few minutes maybe to just give us a brief summary of what each of the letters mean, S-P-A-R-K, just to expand a little bit for our listeners, because we have the time to do that. And that would be great. And then I want to go on and talk about, a few things, but I'll leave that for a surprise. So back to you, Tracy, for just a little enlightenment around SPARK, because also, and in that, I want you to also share how my listeners can access your book. So let's start with that, and then perhaps some more information about SPARK.
Absolutely. Oh, thanks, Lori. Well, first of all, for the listeners, again, there's five letters. And just like I studied leadership and followership, it's two sides to the same coin. Great leaders have great followers. Great followers, you know, have great leaders. You need this. It takes two to tango. There's also, when you are talking about becoming the greatest version of yourself, SPARK is about, I'm not trying to mold you into something. I'm not trying to make you like somebody else like right. you or me or anybody else.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is help you understand that within you is something called the Imago Dei, the God seed. Okay, and that means we can have the mind of Christ, we can have the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, and so there is this spiritual element, and I go into this in the introduction of the book. You've got your IQ, you've got your EQ, which is your emotional intelligence, but to truly ignite supernatural greatness while we're in this mortal coil, we really want to dial in the FQ, which is our divine nature's autograph, or what I call DNA. And so when we do this, we take what is intrinsically within us, and then we're put on this planet to operate as a collective. That's why the pandemic is so hard, okay? Because we are meant to be in community and fellowship from a evolutionary standpoint and from a theological standpoint. We are not meant to be isolated and go alone. So S and P are the two things that we bring to the table. ARK are the external things that we need brought to us so we can keep growing and changing, because nobody gets it right without the right resources and people. So I always would look at these help, self-help and personal development things and go, Yeah, I get this whole, if I dream it, I can achieve it, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't always happen. So something, we're missing something. And of course, what we were missing is, no matter how much I may want it and work for it, I still need some external things coming to me to put flesh on the bone, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
uh-huh.
This is where that spark comes into play. And S, like I said, is singularity. And Lori, this is one thing that you know better than anybody else on the planet, that people need to hear, and that you can monetize and make a living doing. It's very similar to kind of Jim Collins' hedgehog principle in the book Good to Great. So I would say singularity, and too many times, Lori, especially as women, we try and be so many things to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and we end up exhausted
mm-hmm.
and complicated, and oh, I have to do this, and I have to do that. And you know what? There is no work-life balance. There's just balance. Okay, and for every season, you're going to have to realize and look at yourself and say, what is that one great thing that I can pour my energy and resources into that is going to benefit the most people? And that's your singularity. And oftentimes, Lori, it's our experience. I heard somebody once say, your experience becomes your expertise. So all our listeners out there, there is something, and I know people are thinking, I used to think this too, I'll never be the greatest in the world at anything. Wrong, okay? There is something
mm-hmm.
that you have gone through, and you've gone through it because you are then to help others get through it. And so that's really what your singularity is. So we really unpack that in the opening of the book, because when you dial in for what you are put on earth to do and you're most passionate about and you are strong at and you get joy at, you all of a sudden become emboldened. You're not exhausted because you're not running everywhere, trying to do everything. And you just get burnt out. You get chronic fatigue. You're just tired all the
mm-hmm.
time. And so
mm-hmm.
it's really about, Lori, this hyper-focus that, you know what? And every day I really have to, I have to focus on it, because for our entrepreneurs out there listening, we're the worst. I mean, somebody will call me and say, hey, have you heard about this? Or I'll get a connection from LinkedIn. Hey, let's talk about this. And I want to rabbit trail everything. But that is a mission drifting. That pulls me away from my one true calling. So
mm-hmm.
that's singularity. And then the P is persistence. And Lori, that's your grit, okay? I mean, if you want it, this is where you become relentless. And you can want to quit, but you just can't quit. And so these are the two things that you have to bring to the table. And you have to be healthy. And you have to have a good support network. And you have to be sleeping well. And you have to have no habits that are really detracting from you and being an optimal. And you have to know how to be refreshed. And you have to know how to Sabbath. And you have to know how to balance things. So that's what, in Spark, that's what each of us brings to the table. Like, Lori, I don't know what your singular life purpose is. Only you know that, because it's unique to you. And Lori, I can't do the work for you. Only you can do the work for you. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
this is what each of us brings to the table. Now, here we are, but that's not enough to make to ignite the greatness within. That may get you started, but to keep it going, the next thing you need is advocates. And advocates are your champions. These are the people that want your success more than even you want it. These are the people that are swinging open doors for you long before you even get to them. The connectors. They're the activators. They will come to you and say, what do you need from me? And you need to be very, very specific and ask them. Ask them four things. And they're waiting to help you because you know what? They are already where you want to be. So they've already traveled this route, and they're reaching back to help other people and pull them up. So the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves is say, hey, I need a connection. I need a review. I need help publishing this book. I need you to read this. I need, you know, all different kinds of things. So then that's your advocates. These are your cheerleaders, okay? Your benefactors, your prefects. And then you have resources. And resources is just like it's the means, okay? This is your branding, your website, your logistics, your boxes, you know, your product, the mechanics, your CRM database, your phone, your office space, your lease vehicle. These are all the tools that you need to actually, you know, drive the car on the road, okay? And capital, it can be a bank account, it can be, you know, a business accreditation, all different kinds of things. So there are different resources that we need. So the important thing with entrepreneurs is that oftentimes resources are very limited. You know, I've worked in huge bureaucracies and Fortune 100 companies where there's no shortage of money. Who knows where the money even comes from? And you know what I'm saying? There's so many different backup plans that there's a tremendous amount of waste. And entrepreneurs, we have to be very savvy about where we spend our time and our money because one wrong investment and we can be in a world of hurt. Okay, so that's your resources. And these are the things, your advocates are people that do stuff for you for free. They're never going to charge you. They're just like your fairy godmothers, your guardian angels. Resources, though, these are people you're going to hire to help you. Maybe build a website. Maybe take your podcast and put it on different platforms, you know, different things. And then lastly, knowledge, okay? The secret to living a tremendous life is to always be in continuous learning because when you are starting to grow, you're going to be in uncharted territory. You're going to be facing things you've never faced before. This is a good thing. And the more you read and the more you know and the more you unlearn and the more you relearn and grow, the more able you're going to be able to confidently make decisions that are going to take you to the next level and to avoid the pitfalls. Or if you make a bad decision, you're going to have the knowledge, the wisdom, the discernment to go, oops, we need to reevaluate that and we need to get back on track. Yeah. So those are the three outer things. No matter how much I love what I'm doing and how much I persist and how many you know, resources and all the other stuff I have, we still need to constantly be in a state of learning up until our very last breath because there's just so much out there. And the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And it keeps you humble and it keeps your brain growing and it keeps us curious and creative. And that's the secret to continuing to evolve and unfold into the next highest version of ourselves. So that's how, and then you do them every day. And this is a constant cycle. And in the book, I talk about if you're missing one of them, you're not going to spark. You're going to be either frustrated or lonely or defeated. And so it kind of helps you break down and say, you know, what am I weak on and what am I strong on? And so, yeah, so that's the book. And you can get it. You can either come to our website at tremendousleadership.com or you can pick it up on Amazon. But if you come to tremendousleadership.com, then it gets autographed.
Oh,
but we have
like mine,
yeah, we have
like
the
one
book.
I,
yeah.
Like
yes.
The one I received. Okay.
Yeah. And if you like the audiobooks, come to Tremendous Leadership because I recorded reading the audiobook. I don't think it made its way through ACX on Amazon yet because ACX is really backed up. But you can get the print on demand version from Amazon, and you can get the ebook on Amazon. And right now I have the ebook for 99 cents. So download it, check it out, 99 cents. Come on.
My gosh, girl. But I have to say, if you're a collector of books and you like having a library, you must order the hard copy because the cover is absolutely stunning, and you'll want
Thank
that on
you.
Yourself. That's all I can say about that.
It is one of the prettiest books I've ever seen.
It is.
I mean, and you know, you say you can't judge a book by the cover, but the cover reflects. It's a beautiful representation of the book, and I was just that was a true godsend. I mean, just having that done. So yeah, thanks, Lori.
You're welcome. It is stunning. I love it, and I've put it on my shelf. And you look at the shelf, and it's the first thing you see. Sorry, just saying. All right.
Yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your dad. A lot of people out there may not know who he was yet or haven't heard of him, but I certainly did hear of him. And I was a member of the National Speakers Association for years and attended a conference, and he was one of our speakers. And after his presentation, he came down off the stage and we got to, you know, shake hands and introduce ourselves. And so let's have you share a little bit about him for those people who would never have had the honor or the pleasure of meeting him, or at the very least knowing who he is. So over to you for your rendition of introducing your dad to us. Over to you.
Thanks, Laura. I'm glad you got to meet him. I'm glad you got to hear him. He was definitely a force. God broke the mold when he made him, that's for sure. I mean, he was something else. So he was a life insurance salesman. And just for the listeners, a little bit of context, he was one of the top 25 legends in the world on personal development. I mean, I grew up sitting, listening to him speak as a little girl with people like Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and Norman Vincent Peale. So this is the crowd of people that as a small child, I'm sitting there listening to these people talk. But I want to tell you something about my dad is that he was born in the South. He's from Alabama. And then he said he moved north and married a Yankee woman and had a bunch of Yankee babies. Six of us. And he would always say that the only reason he only had six kids is because my mother really didn't like children. You know, he was just kind of, and he's so funny. So he kind of, I tell people growing up with a father that was a motivational speaker was like a cross between boot camp and a sitcom. Okay. It was always really funny. He, and I talk a lot about him in the book because obviously he imprinted on me in a pretty tremendous way. But he was really very tough and very purposeful and intentional about, hey, you know, everything we do, this is great, but everything should have a purpose and we should really have goals that we're always moving forward to. So, you know, he'd take us on summer vacations where he'd be speaking and we'd all load up, all six of us and both my parents and boxes of books, and we'd get in a Volkswagen RV bus and just drive down to Mexico City. We were up in Canada. We were everywhere. And we'd work the book tables at night and play at the campgrounds while Dad was off speaking. So he really had this incredible thing about combining work and fun. Like you couldn't separate the two. And so it was just an interesting way that when you're dialed into your singularity and you never stop, and he just had this, he just stayed refreshed through reading great books and being with great people. And for our listeners out there, his mantra, his most famous thing that he's known for is, you'll be the same person 5 years from now that you are today, except for two things, the people you meet and the books you read. So he was a bookaholic. He'd tell people he was their pusher. And he just was just all in about the transformative power of books. So he grew up in the Deep South, post-depression, broken home, mother left him, oldest of five kids, in extreme poverty. Father went to Alaska to build the pipeline. He was raised by some kind of crazy relatives. It was not a good situation. Flunked out of school in the eighth grade and just kind of chalked up to a wild kid that was never going to amount to anything. Because he had this intrinsic resiliency, okay, he went into the life insurance industry. And as he was a sales persona. He just had this charismatic personality, and he loved life insurance because he viewed it as, hey, when you're gone, this takes care of your family. And so coming from a guy that really had nothing when his family left, it was a deeply personal and passionate thing for him. So he did really, really well in the life insurance industry. And then he wrote a book in 1967 called Life is Tremendous. Okay. And so that's kind of how he got the name Tremendous. And he said he got the name Tremendous because he was a slow learner and he flunked out of school in the eighth grade. And people would say to him, Charlie, you know, we just had a new baby. And he'd say, Tremendous. Or they'd say, Charlie, we just sold a $1 million policy. And he'd say, Tremendous. Or they'd say, Charlie, my mother-in-law just died. And he'd say, Tremendous. You know, he loved mother-in-law jokes. The other kids don't get that as much anymore, but our generation is like, oh my gosh, the mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
He would say, behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. That was another one of his favorites, kind of thing. But he just really had this intrinsic, and then he wrote this book, and then he left the life insurance industry, which is a whole other story. And then just started writing and speaking, and to anybody that would listen. And you talk about an author, and he has sold millions of copies of this book, Life is Tremendous. Tyndall House published it back in 67. It has never gone out of print, never, which is unbelievable. And it's been translated into 15, 16, 17 different languages. So it's just a short little book, but it's so powerful. And it says, the title again is Life is Tremendous, and the tagline is Enthusiasm Makes a Difference. So in other words, whatever else happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And, you know, that's what I look at Spark. You know, there's a picture of him on the book with his foot up kicking, and that's him. We call it the kicking man, leadership with a kick. But to me, that's what Spark is, just sparking you. Don't just sit there. Life is waiting for you to just be everything you're meant to be. Come on, go out there and grab it. And so I've always been exposed to this. Here's where you are. If there's someplace you want to be, what's stopping you from getting there? So, there was no thumb sucking growing up. You know, I mean, it was there was no complaining about anything because he's like, you're bored, read a book, get a job. I mean, go volunteer. Oh, and like in high school, he took all the TVs out of the house. No TV. You can read books. You can go get a job or you can go do sports, but you're not going to sit here and watch the boob tube. Could you imagine if somebody did that today? You know what I'm saying?
He
was very, very diligent about, trash in, trash out. So you have to be very intentional about what you allow into your head. And that's why you only read tremendous books and you only hang out with tremendous people. Now, there's lots of untremendous things going on that you're going to have to be interacting with, but you sure can limit your exposure to them. And so he really taught us that very, very well.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, he was something else.
I guess.
He is still, for those of you that, if you go to YouTube to Tremendous Life Books, I have tons and tons of clips. I mean, Lori, I left home at 17, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I came back home 3 months after he had passed. So I knew him as a child and a young adult. But after that, he told me, Tracy, when you grow up, he goes, you got to go earn your own stripes. In other words, I can't live in his shadow, nor did I want to. I mean, I really took this go out and forge your own way. And I listened to him. I went into the military. So when I came back, I'm finding all these clips and tapes and manuscripts and notes and really discovering who my father was. So I have a ton of stuff on YouTube that's been archived, that we've digitized,
aww,
that we've, you know, put out there. Yeah. So anybody that wants to see or hear him, from him as a young man all the way up until, you know, he went on a world tour 3 months before he died. He couldn't even talk, and he had a patch over his eye because of the cancer. And up until the day he died, he was calling people, recommending books. And you know what? If somebody would come see him and he had already said goodbye to them and he knew they were Christian, he would be like, hey, no, I need to talk to somebody else. I'll see you again in heaven. We already said goodbye. You know, I need to go focus on somebody else. I mean, he was just wild about that stuff. And so really, I watched him live, but I'm telling you what, Lori, watching him, just know that he ran the race well. And he'd tell people, please don't pray for my healing. I really am ready to go home. And it was just beautiful because, you know, people say what they believe, but until you're seconds from eternity, you don't really know. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I was sitting there watching him all the last days, and I was with him the day he passed. And I was like, is he going to say, gee, I hope everything that I taught and believed my whole life was true. Oh, no. He was just like, Lord, take me home. Lord, take me home. I've done everything here, Lord. And it was beautiful. And so that was really, really serious for me, because for me to come back and run something, I needed to know that my founder really believed it. And he really believed it.
Singularity.
Mm-hmm.
That was him.
He did. And Lori, he was so tender that people would say, what was his greatest thing? What made him so famous or whatever? And I said, it was the fact, because he came from such humble beginnings and he knew pain. I think when you see people that have had a rough start, you know, they have a much more or they go the other way and get psychotic and vengeful and malicious. This made him so sweet. And he would just look at people and look at them, people that were down or lost or confused. And he would just look at them with this, hey, I see it in you and you're going to get there. And he would just hug him like he never would have made it in the COVID times. This not hugging would have thank God it happened. But he wouldn't have liked this. But that was just the one thing that really stuck out with him. Is just he made everybody feel like they were the most brilliant, wonderful thing walking on the planet. And everybody needs to be made like that.
Absolutely. Well, he changed my life.
Oh,
he
Lord.
Said, you want to be a speaker? Well, then speak.
Yeah.
That's what he said. You want to be a speaker?
Well, I'm just telling you.
Oh,
I know. Well, and he had this pragmatic.
And that changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he was, you talk about tough love. And listen, after he passed, I would have grown men call me and say, you know, your father, he called me up one day when I was belly aching or whining, and he yelled at me so hard I cried, but I never forgot it, and I love him. I mean, he was so pragmatic, and he came through such hardship. He didn't tolerate any of this thumb-sucking. He called them thumb-suckers, and he's like, stop it. And so he just had this very pragmatic, it is what it is. Stop crying over spilt milk, and everything bad that happens, there's a reason for it. It's there to make you better. So stop wallowing and move on. Yeah, I mean, he was really, and so he'd just say these very, very quick things, but it just kind of arrested you and pulled you out of your slump or your pity party, and you'd be like a slap. Sometimes he would people and smack them, like, stop it.
Yeah, and it came always from what I observed was it always came from a place of love, so you never were offended or, you know, no one took it personally, right?
No.
Okay.
No, and he did that. Yeah.
Well, let's talk next about, I could talk about him all night. Let's talk about, I believe, now you can disagree with me, but let's just have a little conversation, a little girl time here. I believe and know that there is a book inside each and every one of us. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I could not agree more. I agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because each of us has a journey and a story that is unlike anyone else. And so I think we all have a book inside of us. So if you were to give our listeners maybe 4 or 5 tips on how to even get started in writing, just to start writing and get a book together, and then maybe we'll spend a little time on how to get it published. So let's talk with your experience. You know, what are some tips you could give our listeners on how to get their book on paper? Over to you.
Right. Well, absolutely. Thanks, Lori. I would say for any of our aspiring writers out there, and like you said, listen, if you've been through something and you've triumphed over it, or even if you've found a way just to carry the burden, there are some hurts that I've dealt with that are never going to go away, but I've learned to still be joyful in the pain. And 19 out of the 20 people buying a book, they're buying a book because they're in pain or duress. Pain sells, friends. So if you have a story where you are dealing with something, a profound loss or an illness, or, something that just people think is unbearable, but you found a way to do it, especially because otherwise you have been taken through this and you were still on this planet. And my dad would say, it's very, very selfish of you not to share this with other people, because you didn't go through it just for you. That's incredibly selfish. You went through it so you can, so when somebody else in the future is going through it, you can come alongside them and say, hey, friend, it's going to be okay. So that being said, what I would recommend is just take 15 minutes a day and write 400 words. Okay, four little paragraphs. And you sit there and you go, 400 words? Yeah, 400 words. You can do it. It's maybe 3/4 of a page. And Lori, this was one of my books, was actually 4 years of my 400-word blogs all put together. So at any day, I want you just to set aside 15 minutes, and I want you just to type anything. And what's going to happen is you're going to start, as you start building these little vignettes of things on your mind, your inner orchestra is going to start playing, and you're going to see common threads. You're going to see a refrain keep reappearing. For instance, when I did my doctoral research, I interviewed 30 people about this one event that they saw. And what I would listen to as I was writing down, transcribing their words, were common threads. I didn't care if one person saw it or even two. If five or more people saw it, it was a finding. And I would start threading together. Why did they see it this way? And so as you just take 15 minutes every day and write something, and I don't care if it's silly. I don't care if it's a wish, if it's a desire, if it's something hurt, if it's something sad. Write it down, because you're going to start to see what you're most passionate about, because you're going to start seeing things come back. So I had 4 years of blogs, and as I started going through them all, I'm like, okay, I start seeing different themes, and then I would start co-locating them all together. The other thing with writing, read, okay? Great writers are always prolific readers, and I recently got my PhD, and that has made me an infinitely better writer, okay? Because you become more wise, and writing, like anything else, is a skill you get better and better and better at. Okay, reading helps you think critically. It helps you cite different sources. It gives you a wealth of different things, because when you write something, yes, you're going to have your personal experience, but if you can tie it back to some of the foundational universal truths, then it's not just about you, but it's something that the reader can say, well, it's not something that just Lori did it. Sometimes stuff is so personal, it's like, well, but that's them. This is not me. But in the nonfiction genre, you can really create something that can carry and overarch and go to a lot of people. So definitely every day, and read. If you ever have writer's block, the best thing you can do for that is read. Just pick it up and start reading. And I'm telling you, it's listen to a podcast or a sermon. The more I listen to stuff, and I do a podcast, I have 15 pages of notes at the end of every podcast. And I'm like, I could write a whole book on this podcast. You know what I'm saying? So if
right.
You're stuck for what to write about, just write about something that day that stuck out, or maybe something you'd like to do, or something you are innately or intrinsically curious about. Because if you're curious about it, there's something inside you, probably your singularity, saying, hey, why don't you unpack mm-hmm. me? Why don't you explore mm-hmm. me? And, and it has to be you. Don't do something that people say, well, you should write about this. It has to be something that you want to share with the world. So, I mean, that's really what I would recommend. And you can't believe it's the old, how do you eat an elephant, scenario, one bite at a time. How do you write a book? One word at a time. It's mm-hmm. just one experience, one paragraph at a time. And I think when you look at it that way, it becomes less of a big, scary thing thinking, I can't do it. The other thing is, a book can be 1,000 words. A book can be, you know, 200,000 words. You just look at Who Moved My Cheese. Look at A Message to Garcia. You can read that in 5 minutes. And that sold like, you know, 40 million copies. So I think we get strung up on that stuff. Even my dad's Life is Tremendous book. You can read that in probably 30 minutes. So I think sometimes people think, well, it has to be this. It has to be Atlas Shrugged. No, it doesn't. It just has to be you, all you, and your unique message to the world. And it has to be something that the world needs to hear, because otherwise it's not going to resonate with people. I have a lot of people will call me as a publisher and say, well, I want to write about this. And I'm like, I know, but what does anybody pick up from that? But again, I'm in the nonfiction world. Okay. If you're in the fiction world, that's a completely different thing. And I wouldn't be able to speak to that because that's not my area of expertise. But I am always looking for, if you can take your experience and share with people lessons that they can learn to then apply to their lives and their experiences, that's where people will say, your book changed my life, because they're going to be able to pick pieces of you out and apply it. Because the book, if you don't digest it and then start living it out, all you did was just pass time. So you really want to move your readers to action, and whether it's giving them hope or giving them tools or giving them knowledge, whatever they need to help them deal with whatever they're going through.
I think I probably have 100 books now in the coffers.
You and me both.
Wow.
I swear. The more you write, the better you're going to get at it. And I'm telling you, somebody said something to me today, and I'm like, that's it. I'm writing a book on that. So, and just really try and stay focused on one at a time if you can. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing. But at the very least, at the very, very least, just write 15 minutes a day, and then really hone your writing with that singularity. What is, if you had to summarize, I always tell people, if you had 1 hour on this planet to live and you had a megaphone to broadcast to every living being on the planet Earth, what would you say to them that would change the most trajectories of people? And when you really get that, then you can kind of say, this is my overarching mission that I know better than anybody else that I want to leave as my written legacy.
Wow. Yesterday, Tracy, I did a show in 1998 to 2000. I had worked on an indigenous reserve on the East Coast in Canada. And yesterday's show, I just shared memories of Elsie Pugtug. And I shared all of these experiences that I had while I was working there. Some of them happy, some of them sad, some of them profound. And now I'm thinking, that's a book.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And you know what? We need to preserve this. This needs to be preserved. That's why it scares me, all this stuff about eradicating history and tearing. You need to preserve history when it happened for what it was. I mean, it's a strange world out there. I mean, this kind of stuff needs to be written down. I think about the Bible, the number one bestseller of all time. What if people wouldn't have written down what Jesus said and did? What if they wouldn't have written it down? We wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with the help of the Holy Spirit. But it's like, write it down for crying out loud, you know? And if you think you can't, that's okay, because there's so many unbelievably talented ghostwriters and editors and people out there to really help you get it out there. So if you don't know how to do it, I know tons of people that are able to help you at any stage of the writing process to get that book on paper.
Great. Well, Tracy, it looks like we have a caller. Are we ready to take a call?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's see who's on the line here. Somebody's calling in. Good afternoon.
Hey, Lori and Tracy. This is David Dean.
David Dean. Hi. You're listening? Oh, yay.
I am. I've been listening to your entire fabulous radio show with Lori. Hey, I've got a few Charlie Jones stories myself and probably not enough time to include them. Your dad was obviously one of my mentors. And, you know, you were talking about something. And one thing, you know, I had a chance to spend about a day with your dad, you know, I would say probably 6 to 9 months before he passed away up at your home. And, you know, one of the comments he made to me, and, like you're saying, he wouldn't dwell on anything he was going through. And, you know, he said, you know, just remember that what you're going through is not for you. And I said, it's not for me. And he said, no, not for you. It's for those coming behind you.
Oh.
And I thought that has stuck out so strongly. And that's pretty much what you were saying, you know, that you can go along with somebody. He said, not for you. It's those coming behind you. And it put a whole new perspective on dealing with challenges. And dealing with the things you were going through, you know, you know, he helped with that. Hey, Tracy, let me ask you just a couple of questions about publishing and what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I'm about three-fourths of the way through your book, Spark, and really enjoying it. And
thanks, Tate.
As a matter of fact, I got a note from a friend of mine that was also, you know, is doing, you know, Mary Lou Hallbaker. He was, you know, in your program or in your, Mary Lou and I went to college together, you know, she and Gina.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but, oh, my God.
Oh, no, we were, Yeah, but she's a big fan here, really enjoying what you're doing. But I was going to ask you, you know, I noticed that what would you say the biggest mistake authors make in trying to approach you with a book or whatever, or manuscript? What would you say the biggest mistake you see being made by people wanting to write or wanting to get published?
Good question.
Well, I would say that is a good question. I think the number one thing is, I'm going to say there's going to be two. Number one is, first of all, their motive. They have an unrealistic expectation of the cost that it's going to take to actually get published. They go to groups and people say, oh, well, you shouldn't have to pay for anything. And I'm like, well, you know, you certainly can do it. Find people to do it for free. But I mean, it is, you're contracting experts to put together something, it's not just writing a Word document. I mean, it's pagination. It's laying out the spine so it can go to printers. Publishing a book is poetry and plumbing. The writer provides the poetry, and the publisher, there's a lot of moving pieces, and there's a lot of people you have to pay for that. Number two, so at first, is unrealistic expectations about the cost, unrealistic expectations about what's going to launch the book. So my thing, David, too, is, and my dad taught me this, the only person that really is going to get your book sold is the author. Okay, and you can hire every marketer and publicist in the world, but you really need to make sure that you bring them on when you already have a platform. And I see too many authors that they launch the book and then they just are like defeated, like, and like, well, what's it doing? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What are you doing? You know, this is your baby.
Right.
You just gave birth to it. Now you have to raise it and be in persistence. You wrote this beautiful thing. Now get it out there. My dad would sleep in bus stations and have books in the back of his trunk. For everyone he sold, he probably gave away five for free. So I just tell people, you got to hustle and you got to build your platform organically before you go shelling out a bunch of money, because publishing is expensive and marketing is unreal. So there's so many things that you as an author can get out there and build your fan base ahead of time. And so you have a real reasonable expectation of what comes after the publishing, because it's, you know, I got to tell our listeners out there, the writing and the publishing is the easy part. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting it out there. That's
right.
That's the tough stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, what percent of your books that your company is selling are selling in hardback or paperback versus ebook?
Uh-huh. Good question.
You know, well, what's really changed that? That is a good question. Most of our stuff that we do is paperback. Now, I did Spark in hardback too, because it was more of a gift, more of a standout piece, but I still see an awful lot of hardbacks. The other thing is, David, what authors have to consider now, what we're doing with most of our authors is I let Amazon handle the ebook and the print on demand. I mean, that's the best thing. Seriously, that's so easy because you can order through Amazon author copies for a really great price, and then they just do a print on demand. And then I work with other short run or mid-range printers, either offset or digital printers, depending on if they want 1,000 or more, I'll go with the digital printer. If they want hardcovers, then I'll run separate runs. So I would say we sold a lot of books. We sell a lot of both books and audios, but primarily we'll do paperbacks because the other thing is too, it's shipping. Hardbacks are more expensive to ship because they weigh more.
Yeah.
And with the way freight costs. So these are all things, again, that's the plumbing part of it. It's like, oh, but I want hard copy too. And I'm like, I tell my authors, okay, but if you do a short run hardcover copy, if you want it really quickly, you can end up paying $20 a book. Now, you can mitigate that and get that way down, but you know, you have to really look at the logistics of it and say, okay, and then if you want a bunch of books, where do you store them? Do you have a website that has an e-commerce site to sell them? And so authors need to think about these things because even if you publish your book, if you don't get it loaded through Ingram or Amazon or some of the other places or have a website, nobody can find you. And so that gets into the whole, you have to make sure it's out there, and then we get into the whole, you know, pay to play or marketing or all that stuff. So a lot of different things, but getting it out there is selling. And a lot of authors are like, well, I don't want to sell it. And I'm like, then don't write it. Then don't spend money.
Yeah.
Because if you don't care enough to share with the world, this is your message. It's just in a different format. And if you don't care enough to get out and get behind your own book, don't waste your money because you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree.
That's the big mistakes. Yeah. Yep.
Tracy,
and it takes time. I tell people, you know, 10 years and it may start to pop. So everybody's like, but look at this person's book. And I'm like, look at when it was first published. It was 10 years ago. You think these people just all of a sudden became famous. This takes a lot of time. Nobody starts at the top of the mountain. All of us start, even if you have a great name, everybody starts, you know, trying to gather their following and their fan base. It's just, that's the way it is.
How much are you spending, how much are you doing on Instagram in relation to getting your message out there, your book, speaking, podcast, that type of thing?
I do post on Instagram, and I just run across now. I use Hootsuite, and now because Facebook bought Instagram, I just put everything out there. So I have my podcast that goes through Megaphone, and then gets pushed out on the RSS through Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everything. And so, but I have somebody do that for me. I record, they do the show notes. And it got to a point of, I love this quote, delegate everything but genius. Okay. So if you really want to be doing this, you, unless you're technically astute, I want to be creative now. I don't have time to do that. What's that?
Did we put your name by that?
Dan Sullivan. I think Dan Sullivan said that. I think Dan Sullivan, that's an actual quote, Dan Sullivan. Delegate everything but genius. Yeah.
I love that.
But then Instagram, David, I have some great kids again on Canva, and just I'll give them the quotes and say, build me some beautiful graphics. Now, the other thing is then you have to really track to see is it hitting my audience? Are we getting responses? Do we track metrics? You know, don't do it unless you're really going to follow up. But no, I do post on there because I do. And just when I'm ready to quit and say, why am I spending my time and money doing this? Somebody will go, you know, at our team meeting on Fridays, I pull up one of your Facebook posts and I use that for my motivational minute. And I'm like, oh, heck, I'll keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard to qualify an ROI, but you just, loves new content coming out. So just in LinkedIn, I put stuff on LinkedIn. Just keep putting content. Don't stop. And sometimes it takes 6 months or a year before the algorithm gods know you're serious and you start to raise in the rankings. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And people are like, well, I don't want to play that. And I'm like, then you're never going to get seen. I mean, it's the way it is.
Tracy, how are you dividing your time now in relation to the company and writing and speaking? About what percentage of your time is doing what you're doing to run the company, the other part, and just speaking and writing?
Well, I would say it's pretty much a 50-50 right now. I always think about Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited, and my favorite line in that is, you need to work on the business and not in the business.
Right.
But right now, I am in dire need of the right resources. I'm starting to build out curriculum and courses so I can put stuff that I write as little vignettes into courses, which then become books and stuff like that. Even my Leaders on Leadership podcast, I'd love to start building a course or turn that into a book. Any content, our listeners that are out there, that you speak or videotape, that can be repurposed as a book, as a blog, as an article. So, you know, it can be repurposed across all different platforms. But David, my thing right now is I want to get to 75% working on creative content and 25% in the business. But I'm on the hunt looking for some right resources to bring on the team to help me grow and scale.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
what I'm looking for. Yeah, that's my I'm missing on the R resources right now. And when I do find that next person, then we'll be able to take it to the next level.
Tracy, you've had quite a few shows on your podcast. If you look back on your podcast, is there anything you would do differently than what you now that you have, you know, been doing this quite a while?
Well, I liked it was okay because I went back and had them all reformatted. I am not an auditory learner. And before I started doing my podcast, I'm like, I'm not doing a podcast. I never listened to one podcast ever. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't listen to books on tape because my mind wanders. I'm just not an auditory learner, except if I'm in church. Something about if I'm looking at the person and talking to them, but if I'm listening to them online, my mind or books on tape, an hour later and I'm like, what? I wasn't even listening, you know, kind of thing. So I would say one of the things that I finally did, I was looking at people's podcasts, and here they had words. They had transcriptions for the podcast, because if I see a podcast that is a half an hour long, I may start it, but I'm like, I'm sure there's something good in here, but I don't have a half an hour to listen to it to know if there is something good in here. And then I'd see that they actually had show notes where somebody had transcribed the whole thing and then put links back to everything so you could get Amazon affiliate points and money. So I started working with a company called Podatize. I love them. And now they take my YouTube or my interviews on Zoom and they push it on the platforms. They have great graphics, great show notes, link backs. If I talk about a book, they'll have a link to the book through Amazon. And what they did then, David, is the episodes that I already had in the can, they went and redid all of them. So I just make sure that you got to realize people like learning and people learn a lot of different ways. So I try and have
That's
the audio
right.
and the visual out there. And now a lot of Stitcher, Spotify and all that stuff, that's all audio. But like I said, I like the show notes, and I think it's pretty slick looking because then people can pull quotes, you know, if they want to reference you. I just think it's more powerful.
Okay.
Hey,
well, listen,
Tracy, hey, great connecting with you. Thanks for what you shared. Lori, thank you for having her on.
Well, David, joining us and all of your great questions. And we just have a couple of minutes left. So just want to thank you, David, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And those were all great questions because I had planned for the last segment to be about the publishing. So thank you for that. And also thank you, Tracy, for taking time from your busy schedule to join us today. And I look forward to, I think we should probably all three of us maybe do another show, like have a panel. This would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. That would be tremendous.
Yes. I'm Lori Davis. You've been listening to The Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. Our caller today, David Dean. Our guest, Dr. Tracy Tremendous Jones, all about writing and publishing, because guess what? There is a book inside all of us. Bye for now. Mm-hmm.